Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our expository study of the Gospel of Luke. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the Gospel of Luke. This is part one of two.
Current events update. Facts about January 6th in the Capitol building. We just need to discuss this because, again, if you're watching ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, I love you, but you're stupid. I'm just tired. I have people contacting me with crap that they're seeing on these lying, left-wing, satanic networks, and I don't even want to answer their question. I want to ask them, why are you feeding your brain on that nonsense? But Christians continue to watch it and then be misled. And if I want to tell you, if you think that there was a breach at the Capitol building on January 6th, and if you think Trump supporters broke into the Capitol, wherever you heard that, you should never watch them again. You're being lied to. And I, of course, I never just expect you to take my word for it. But if you were told it was a breach, you were lied to.
Amen.
I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands, but most everybody I talk to thinks that. It's because you're getting your news from liars. And that includes your government.
Amen.
There's the video. I had to mute it because there was some language. You are seeing the Capitol City Police allowing people into the building, inviting them into the building. And I lowered the sound because when they opened that side door, it let off an alarm. But here's your cops. Look at them. One, two, three, four, five, escorting them basically into the Capitol. The point is, they didn't breach.
Right.
They opened the door and they let them in.
Going in and out. There's people going in and out.
And your news media, and if you try to tell people the truth on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, they'll delete it because they're liars.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to hear everybody confess your sins. I want you to ask yourself, where did I hear that there was a breach? Where did I see? Were there a few people breaking windows and things? Yes, they're called Antifa.
Amen.
They're called Black Lives Matter. Listen, folks, they're liars. Liberals lie. It's what they do. And we fundamental preachers have been preaching this for 100 years. And the mainstream and the masses totally ignore it. Just like Noah preaching about the ark. So what about the destruction of property? Well, here's just one of them. This man is a known Black Lives Matter activist seen inside the building. And I've seen others who have been identified as well. A Black Lives Matter activist was part of the group that entered the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday. John Earl Sullivan was that man's name, who has advocated for an armed revolution on social media. He was arrested in July 2020 for making a threat of violence and criminal mischief. He organized a protest with Black Lives Matter activists and members of the far-left Antifa network. According to the Deseret News, Sullivan damaged vehicles and urged people to block roadways. Video footage captured him threatening to beat a woman. That's one of the Black Lives Matter activists that were there, breaking things, stealing things. And deep state hoped that it would go further. And because there were actually Trump supporters who were detaining and fighting against the Antifa and BLM as they tried to destroy the Capitol. But that's what deep state, and when I say deep state, I mean the elite in both political parties. I want to present this to you. That's the Reichstag fire in Germany that basically enabled Hitler to take over. That is what the leaders of your country orchestrated and wanted to happen to the Capitol building. And they didn't get what they wanted, so they're blowing it up and trying to act like it was much worse. That was a picnic, people. What happened in the Capitol building can be fixed in less than 24 hours.
Amen.
The only thing of any consequence was a laptop being stolen. And you know why that's a consequence? Because if it did belong to Nancy Pelosi, there's probably criminal stuff on there that'll put her in prison.
Amen.
Other than that, there was nothing of any consequence on January 6th. And all your news people saying otherwise, including Fox News, are a bunch of liars.
Amen.
I'm not going to show you that video, but there's video where you can see the girl being shot. She's unarmed. She wasn't a threat to anybody. No, and if you turn on your news stations, you know what they're saying? They're acting like the police treated the white Trump supporters. Well, don't... You know, ignore the blacks and the Hispanics that were there too. The news media is painting up as a bunch of white Trump supporters and that the cops treated them just, you know, like they were, you know, welcome there. Yes, that was what the original idea was. But then Antifa and Black Lives Matter starts breaking things, throwing things, and then you have a Secret Service agent shoot a woman who's unarmed. Why? To try to instigate. They were trying to get the Trump supporters to react and burn the place to the ground so they'd have their Reichstag. The Reichstag fire, because I'm not picking on you, but I know Mark and only a couple other people probably even know what I'm talking about. They don't teach this stuff in school. They don't. You can see it on History Channel and that sort of thing, but then you always get the spin. But the Reichstag fire on February 27, 1933, the German Parliament building was called the Reichstag. It was burned down. The Nazi leadership and its coalition partners used the fire to claim that communists were planning a violent uprising. They're calling you Nazis. And they claimed that emergency legislation was needed to prevent this. That's coming. They're already working on it. As soon as Biden is installed, that's what they're going to do. Why? This resulting act, commonly known as the Reichstag Fire Decree, abolished a number of constitutional protections and paved the way for Nazi dictatorship.
Wow.
They're going to try to pass legislation, hold it to the end. They're going to try to pass legislation in order to take your rights from you. And they're already doing it by this. Because one thing you can never accuse American Christians and conservatives of being is smart.
Yeah.
Several years, but especially this last year, been trying to tell our leaders that the social media monopoly in this country is, it should be illegal according to our antitrust laws, and it is a threat to our republic. And now, I'm going to show you in just a minute, they are clamping down, they're shutting down anybody who speaks against what's going on. Just like they did in Nazi Germany. Implemented one day after the fire, the decree suspended the right to assembly, which means we won't be able to have church, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and other constitutional protections, including all restraints investigations, which is already in effect. That's why none of these criminals are being investigated. Durham, they called him the bull dog. They should call him bull something else. It remained in effect until Nazi Germany was defeated in May 1945. And that's what's happening right now in America. They are clamping down on any dissent. They've been censoring people to a great extent for several years now. Now they're just shutting them down. Parler was the free speech alternative to Twitter. Gab was as well. Gab is still going to be up, I believe, because they already tried to shut Gab.com down. They put their own servers up. Parler, for whatever reason, well, I'm going to come back to that in just a second. The decree permitted the regime to arrest and incarcerate political opponents without specific charge,
yep,
to dissolve political organizations, and to confiscate private property.
Yep.
Now, you had better decide you're going to speak up now. It's your last shot.
Amen.
The next shot is to take you away, yep, if you speak up. The next shot is you have to remain silent or you're going to be taken away to a camp or at least to jail. That's next.
Yep.
And for years, everybody scoffed at us and scoffed at us. Oh, they would never do that, and they do it. Well, they'd never do that, and they do it. They'd never do this, and they're doing it.
Yep.
This is exactly what the Democrat social media and news media are doing. And Fox News, the idea is you can't beat them, join them. Well, what happened with Fox News is Rupert has been replaced by more liberal family members and they brought in more liberal people. And you still have Tucker and Sean Hannity and Judge Jeanine and a few on there, but you're going to watch. They're either going to conform, which they have already to some extent, or they're going to be taken off.
Right.
And, you know, it'll always be something like Bill O'Reilly. They'll find some whore bag to say Bill grabbed her butt. You know, that's what they always do. So Tucker's probably said something or done, touched somebody some way, and they'll say, and they'll take him off. And Sean Hannity, they've already tried that, actually. They'll succeed at some point.
Yeah.
Apple to Parler, crack down on free speech or face ban. In other words, they told Parler to not let people like you, people like me, speak freely. And if they won't stop us, then they're removing Parler from their app store. They gave them about a day or two, and they've already done it.
And Amazon is...
Well, I'm getting there. Twitter purge. Conservative social media personalities report losing thousands of followers. Why? Some of them were deleted. Others of them said, you know what? I'm done with you bunch of communists.
Amen.
And that's what we keep telling everybody. Anybody who's not a communist should not be on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube anymore. If you're a communist, stay on there. Now, we have one lady who has told us that that's the only way she can keep in contact with family overseas, and that's the exception, folks. 99 out of 100 people I know don't have any excuse.
Amen.
Conservative walk away group kicked off Facebook amid purge. Friday night massacre. This is Breitbart. Twitter purges Trump. Parler faces bans from Apple and Google, and that's already taking place. On and on it goes. This is a statement from John, I think his name is Matz. He's the fellow who's head of Parler, CEO or COO, whatever. And he's telling everybody, today, Sunday, at midnight, Amazon will be shutting off all our servers in an attempt to completely remove free speech off the internet. There is the possibility Parler will be unavailable on the internet for up to a week as we rebuild from scratch.
Wow.
We prepared for events like this by never relying on Amazon's proprietary infrastructure and building bare metal products. We will try our best to move to the new provider right now as we have many competing for our business. However, Amazon, Google, and Apple purposefully did this as a coordinated effort, knowing our options would be limited and knowing this would inflict the most damage right as President Trump was banned from the tech companies. And you can think what you want, folks, but I'm telling you, if these were conservative companies doing this to the Democrats, I would be speaking out. Because as a constitutionalist, I believe in free speech. I've already spoken out. They've kicked all the anti-Semites and white supremacists and the black Hebrews and all these other extremist groups off of social media. It's wrong, folks.
It is.
And it's fulfilling what we said. They come after them and you cheer, but what are you going to do when they come after you? Gab, the reason they had to build their own servers is because they do have a bunch of anti-Semites on there. A bunch of very hateful, vile people. So what do? Grow up. You use the little block feature and you don't see the punk anymore.
Amen.
You don't need Facebook and Twitter and whoever to serve as your nanny. But in Congress, the Democrats in the Congress and Senate are calling for more and more censorship. Amazon is deleting conservatives, their books and their items, products that they sell off of Amazon.
Yeah.
We, by the end of this week, our ministry will have nothing to do with Amazon at all. We're done. We've already gone off Facebook. We've already gone off Twitter. We're already off of YouTube. And now it's Amazon. Because we will do what's right.
Amen.
Yes, it's going to cause us some, what's the word?
Inconvenience.
How will we ever live? Well, I'm going to tell you, before Amazon, we lived. What's funny is, we actually went backwards and went forward again, because when my grandma was growing up, they had milk, ice, you name it, delivered. I mean, you order meat, they'd deliver it. And so then we went to where everybody had to go to the store to get it. Now we went back to a good idea with Amazon, but an idiot runs it. Bezos is an idiot. He's a devil-possessed idiot. And he's a fascist in a sense, a Nazi in the sense of his censorship of people. He's the, what is his name, first name? Bezos.
Jeff
Bezos is a modern day book burner. He's doing it digitally. And so what are we going to do? Well, we're looking at the businesses that aren't run by a bunch of fascist pigs, and that's who we're going to buy our stuff from. We live out where there's some Amish places, so we've already been getting a lot of our food locally from the Amish. And we're going to continue. And if we start right now, Lowe's, don't go to Home Depot. If you go to Home Depot, your money is going to your enemies to kill you. They give tens of millions of dollars a year to satanic causes for abortion and sodomy and the Democrat agenda. Wow. So what do you do? Lowe's. Another good one, Myers. Myers is it. The homos hate Myers because they won't bow to them and give them all kinds of money.
Amen.
So Myers, Lowe's, you need to do your homework. You need to take it seriously that every dollar you spend should be for the glory of God, not for the armory of Satan. And so let's get into Luke 9, beginning verse 37. But they understood not this saying is our title. And I'm going to have you read the odd verses. So jump right in with verse 37 and read it with me. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your hearts, for the Son of Man shall be delivered... Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And that's two more verses than I told you we were going to read. So I'm having trouble seeing my thing here, so I'm going to fix that while you all say amen.
Amen.
All right. I have a setting on here that dims it when I'm when it's not well lit, so it doesn't burn my eyeballs out. But when I'm in bright lights, it makes it hard to see. So, it was the day after the scene we studied previously in the Mount of Transfiguration. Keep that in mind. It was just a day later. Peter, James, and John had just seen Jesus in His glory. And oh, by the way, they also got to meet Moses and Elijah. I mean, that's quite a thing. Something I don't think you'd ever get over. And so in verse 37 it says, "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill," that's, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration, "much people met Him." And it's just an interesting thing to see that Jesus in His ministry is not very many days where He really gets to be either alone or with just His core group. He spends a lot of time around people. In this day, speaking for myself, there are days where I spend so much time either on the phone, texting, answering emails, you know, whatever, that I just finally have to turn everything off. My brain just feels like it's going to melt. And I think that's the same kind of feeling that Jesus and the apostles had. Remember, Jesus was God, but He was also 100% man. He didn't suffer the results of sin because He was sinless. But He suffered the same things that we do in the flesh when it comes to just getting hungry, getting tired of people. You know, how many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You know, how many of you ever, you know, just get tired of people? I'm afraid you. I was afraid somebody would point at the person next to him. So they come down from the mount to a crowd. And verse 38 says, "And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, 'Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child.'" And that's about to change in the Smith family here. But it is something to watch parents mature, we'll say. The first child, there's just certain things you'd never see the parents allow them to do that by the time, say, number four comes along, and suddenly they're doing all kinds of things that you're like, if the first one, I'm trying not to say any names here, if the first one had been doing that, it would be, but the fourth one comes along, they'll live. Right. Why? Well, you know, children are precious, and they're like, you know, it's common sense. When you only have one, you know, the focus of your attention, the only one, you know. And then if that's the only one you ever have, sometimes there's only child things, you know what I mean? Even the only people who were only child, they call it a syndrome. It's just a situation. I had a couple of friends, they were the only child. They would actually catch themselves doing things. And they would say, "I'm sorry, that's an only child thing." Why? Because at their home, they're it. They don't have to share anything. You know? Anytime mom and dad want to spend time with the kids, it's kid. You see? Why? Because that's just a natural thing. So you think about this man here. He says, "For he is mine only child." He's probably not a tiny child. He's liable to be possibly even a grown child. And he's the only one, so there's no more coming along. And almost always says, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog, flailing about and suffering injuries. Think of an only child, and that's the condition they're in almost always. And so this man is heartbroken. He's desperate. And verse 39, "And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again. And bruising him, hardly departeth from him." I've seen people in such a state that they actually injure themselves just by flailing about, and they hit things and they bang into things. And people trying to restrain them can accidentally hurt them. Because there's sometimes, especially when you're talking about a devil, they can be superhuman in strength. impossible to actually restrain naturally. And I think that's where this kid is. Verse 40, he continues, "And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." Now, before you jump on them and say, "Well, what's wrong with them?" I'm one of them. I feel totally inadequate for the dealing with devils. I have been in the presence of devil-possessed people where I knew I was dealing with a devil-possessed person. I was not able to cast anything out. I was barely able to escape without injury. Why? Because this, you have to believe it or not, and if you reject what I'm about to say, it's to your own detriment. Don't believe the nonsense you're seeing on TV where the TV preachers walk up and say, "I cast thee out in the name of Jesus," and all that stuff. It's all fake. They've caught them. They pay the people to act like they're devil-possessed. And then there's other people who have actual brain damage, brain injury. They're on medications that make them flip out and things like that. And what they basically do is restrain them. What we should do to somebody, and I had a preacher one time get mad at me because I was preaching a revival in a church. A bunch of people got saved. It was really a great meeting. Something I don't even think you'd see nowadays. Not because of me, because of the condition of our culture. We don't hear about it very often. More than a couple of people getting saved at one time. You hardly ever hear about that anymore. And while that was going on, it was supposed to be a 5-day meeting. We were on our 12th day. And there was no one was talking about ending anything. But as I was preaching, I said, there are things in churches that will kill what's going on. And it's not just people who are mean. It's not just people who are possessive or power hungry. There's spiritual things going on. And I named a few, and one of them was Freemasonry.
Yep, that's right.
And when that service ended, the church leadership, I found out, was majority of Masons. The rank and file people out there were not, and that God was moving. But the Freemason deacons went to the pastor and said, "It's over, shut it down."
Wow.
A week or two later, this other preacher comes up to me and says, "Hey, I heard about what went on down in Antioch. That was good." He wasn't talking about the Mason thing. He was just talking about how people were getting saved. He says, "I want you to come out in my church and maybe have a few nights of meetings." And I said, "Sure." I said, "But I got to warn you, the Freemasons shut me down out there at Antioch."
He said, "I want to tell you something. The things you're saying about the Masons and what you've been told are lies."
Just like that.
Wow.
I'm not making it up. Foam in the corners of his mouth flying.
Yep.
I said, "You got a devil in you." I said, "You don't want me coming to your church because it's not God's church."
Amen.
And he turned around and stomped all over you. I'm glad he wasn't a concealed carry. I think he would have shot me.
Yeah.
And so when you read here, "And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not," it's not always necessarily the disciples' fault. But in this case, Jesus is going to tell us, yeah, there's a problem here. The problem is about faith. The dispensation issue applies here. Faithless and perverse generation, he says. This generation is the apostate generation right before Jesus is crucified. After he's crucified, buried, rose again, we go into the book of Acts. You'll see this all flips on its head. Because during that transition period, they were given supernatural gifts that they didn't have before. And even before they were dead, they didn't have them any longer. We talked about the Apostle Paul, you know, leaving Trophimus at Miletus sick, and the other things.